Chris Thompson, named by DeFries as a CIA agent. Black man. Not a political radical or activist. Described as a, quote, curious man. Moved freely in and out of Peking House. Dated Nancy Ling Perry, Patricia Soltysik, and Camilla Hall. Served as the connection between the three Berkeley females and the seven who moved west and infiltrated the radical movement groups. Wolf, Angela and Gary Atwood, Emily and William Harris, Robin Steiner, and Russell Little. March 1973, sold a 38 caliber Rossi pistol to Russell Little. Bullets fired from this gun allegedly killed Dr. Foster. Drove to Vacaville Medical Facility with a member of BCA, but didn't attend any meetings. January 1974, rented an apartment on 2069 Hillegas Street, Berkeley, half a block from Stephen Weed's and Patricia Hearst's apartment at 2602 Benvenue Avenue. His apartment opened on a small alleyway. You can walk through the alleyway and be on Benvenue, directly across the street from 2602. Occupation. Sells soul food from a stand on Bancroft Way, Berkeley, near food stands where Dave Gunnell and Nancy Ling Perry worked. After the Foster murder and Hearst kidnapping, Chris was around now but missing, unquote. He appeared as a secret and protected grand jury witness. Typically, in trials of radical groups, somebody in the know remains safe and suspicious while the others get roasted. Not wanted by police or FBI, allowed to, quote, vanish or possibly to testify against the deceased. Thompson offered to prove he was not CIA by submitting the facts to a jury, which would include Ron Dellums, Bobby Seale, Angela Davis, and Mrs. Foster. If he waits another year, they might take him up on the offer. Stephen Weed, graduate of Princeton University. Home in Santa Rosa, California. Taught school where Patricia Hearst was a student. Patty and Stephen were living together in Berkeley when she was kidnapped. Black Abductor, a novel published in 1972, described the plans for the Hearst kidnapping, including the, quote, boyfriend who was beaten unconscious. Its publication date indicates how far in advance the plans were made. Weed's role in the kidnapping can only be clarified by a proper investigation of the author and publisher of this book. His behavior since the kidnapping indicates the need to delve further.
Colston Westbrook, alias Big Daddy Yajuma, 1962, CIA advisor to the South Korean Central Intelligence Agency. Cover, U.S. Army, U.S. Air Force, linguistic training took place here. 1962, enrolled in Inter-Christian University, Tokyo. Got special training in latest psychological warfare techniques. 1962 to 1966, worked illegally under cover of AID, Agency for International Development. Handled undercover assignments in Cambodia, Thailand, India, Japan, Hong Kong, Philippines, Okinawa, and Soviet Union. Claimed to have a personal line of communication with Premier of Cambodia. William Harris's passport indicates a visit to USSR. Was he there at the same time as Westbrook? Willie Wolf was in Europe for 9 months. Was it the same time or same places? February 5, 1966 to September 10, 1969. Westbrook lists his employment as Administrator, Pacific Architects and Engineers, a CIA cover. Provided logistical support for CIA Phoenix program. His job was the indoctrination of assassination and terrorist cadres. William Harris, Marine volunteer, was stationed in Vietnam. Joseph Ramiro served two volunteer tours in Vietnam. Did Ramiro and Harris know Westbrook in Asia? 1969. Plans for the Black Cultural Association were formed. 1970. Donald DeFries sent by LAPD to Vacaville Medical Facility. Colston Westbrook, home after 7 years in Asia with the CIA, was assigned to visit Vacaville Medical Facility 2 times a week. Westbrook ran the BCA classes and decided who would be in the program. The, quote, cultural meetings between DeFries and his white tutors were infiltrated under the cover of teaching black male identity. The tricolored flag of New Africa was paraded on stage with music and black power salutes. Everyone adopted an African name. DeFries became Sin Q. Westbrook brought in sexy women and pictures to prisoners to induce them to come to meetings. The Black Cultural Association became the nucleus of the SLA after two prisoners, DeFries and Wheeler, were allowed to, quote, escape and joined the group in Oakland, Berkeley. The BCA was a behavior modification and psychological experimentation unit. Illegal funding and direction for the BCA came from the CIA via the Stanford Research Institute, SRI. The cover story was, quote, development of black pride. Black prisoners were prepared and primed to murder black leaders on the outside. Dr. Marcus Foster, Huey Newton, Bobby Seale, and Richard Foster were on the SLA hit list. Quote, Westbrook's CIA spymaster can be linked to another counterinsurgency expert, William Herman, an advisor to Governor Ronald Reagan. Herman was in contact with both SRI, the Hoover Center on Violence, and the RAND Corporation in his development for Reagan of a plan to, quote, win the hearts and minds of the people of California. This was the proposed UCLA Center for the Study and Prevention of Violence, a front for massive psychosurgical and psychological experimentation on radicals, third world people, women, children, and prisoners. SRI and CIA research and development programs work with drugs such as Librium, which was administered illegally to certain BCA members. Westbrook's assignment in the BCA Behavior Modification Unit was to recruit future agents for CIA domestic programs. The, quote, zombie killings and the zebra murders in San Francisco are linked to prison control and training, employing drugs and other forms of mind control. Donald DeFries identified Westbrook as a CIA agent and one who had betrayed him. Westbrook must now live in fear for his life. David Ferry, Lee Harvey Oswald, Jack Ruby, and almost 100 other persons who served as government agents in conspiracies related to past political intelligence operations have been murdered. They were killed by their own team, not by the, quote, enemy. I should just mention to those of you who've just tuned in, you are, of course, listening to Radio Free America. We're reading a very long segment here, about half of an article by Mae Brussel entitled, Why Was Patricia Hearst Kidnapped? It was originally published in summer of 1974 in Paul Krasner's The Realist magazine. And as mentioned before, a little earlier in the broadcast, we are reading about a total of 20 pages of the article. So this long segment that we are reading and will continue to read is all from the same article.
Right. And again, also, veteran listeners may not be hearing as much interpolative discussion with regard to some of the material we're putting here. May does a pretty good job of that, I think one would have to agree herself. In other words, she does a lot of the interpolation of this mass of information, the glaring contradictions in the whole SLA scenario. So we're not interjecting as much as we normally would, although we will at certain places here. Again, this article is so important and so rare that what we're really doing is attempting to sort of reproduce the guts of it on the air here so that it will, this pivotal document will be available to a greater extent than it is, because unfortunately the original Realist article is just not easy to come by, and although we haven't got the time to reproduce the entire article, we're getting the guts of it on tape so that it can be distributed and hopefully will be, as well as obviously studied. Continuing with May's article, Why Was Patricia Hearst Kidnapped? Thero Wheeler, described as a hell of a mind close to genius, unquote. Brother Bill, a member of San Francisco Police Force, quote, did not relate ideologically with Donald DeFries, unquote, which might be a political way of saying that his association with DeFries was to entrap him. Allegedly interested in Vince Ramos, actually, only mailed them one letter. November 1972, met with DeFries in Vacaville Medical Facility for 1 month. December of 1972, DeFries went to Soledad from Vacaville, escaped, unquote, March 1973. August of 1973, Wheeler escaped from Vacaville. DeFries in December of 72, Wheeler in August of 73. Or rather, DeFries March of 73, Wheeler August, excuse me. Continuing, stayed with Mary Alice Seam, a frequent visitor to Wheeler while he was in Vacaville in the Bay Area. He was never sought there. August of October of 1973, met with DeFries and SLA members in Oakland at least 20 times. Provided the SLA with $600. DeFries wanted to kill Wheeler and Mary, indicating his probable mistrust of them as provocateur or agents. Description of Wheeler fits that of the second black man who, with DeFries, kidnapped Patricia Hearst. After cremation of six SLA members in Los Angeles on May 17, 1974, FBI and police claimed that only William Harris, Emily Harris, and Patricia Hearst were still being sought. The SLA thus was reduced. Why did the police forget about the man who helped kidnap Patty and assault Stephen Weed? Was Wheeler one of the black men who lured DeFreeze to his death trap and in exchange will not be sought or prosecuted? William Wolfe, alias Charles William Morgan, or Cujo. Born in Pennsylvania, son of Dr. L.S. Wolfe, anesthesiologist. Hobbies and interests not described. Studies and education unclear. Traveled for 9 months in Europe before coming to Berkeley, not yet decided on his goals. Only Berkeley class mentioned was course in Black Lexicon, unquote, under Professor Colston Westbrook, who would later bring William into Vacaville Medical Facility. Westbrook described himself on San Francisco radio station KGO as having been raised in an all-white Pennsylvania town, knowing few blacks. Wolfe had no experience with prisoners, black friends, or radical movements. This team taught black identity, unquote, to a prison study group. They created the pathetic Field Marshal General Sing Q of the SLA, unquote. Wolfe lived at Peking House, the common meeting ground from which prison reformers, unquote, would spread into Vacaville Medical Facility, San Quentin, Folsom, Soledad, and San Luis Obispo prisons. Wolfe brought Russell Little and Robin Steiner into the prison group. Wolfe, though childless, attended Oakland School Board meetings and brought arguments against Dr. Marcus Foster into BCA prison discussions at Vacaville. The prisoners were remote from Oakland school problems. Inciting of black prisoners against Dr. Marcus Foster was consistent with police policies. Ultimately, it was two whites in blackface who allegedly shot Dr. Foster. Wolfe was last seen in Pennsylvania visiting his father in January 1974, when Ramiro and Little were arrested for the Foster murder. Wolfe then went underground, disappeared, unquote. Burned alive on 54th Street in Los Angeles, May 17, 1974. Not charged with any crime. Well, that concludes the first part of the section of the Patty, Why Was Patricia Hearst Kidnapped article that we're reading. That concludes the cast of characters. There's obviously a massive amount of information there, and we couldn't even begin to recap it in detail. Suffice it to say that all of the characters in the SLA army, quote-unquote, were either U.S. intelligence or police agents, or people who had functioned at one time or another in conjunction with them. There were a certain number of people who appear to have been duped into joining this organization and then were later betrayed during the final SLA cremation when the house was surrounded and the shootout took place. But notice that the same elements that we saw in conjunction with the criminal conspiracy section in Los Angeles and the deep-sixing of black radicals in California, as well as the proposed and fortunately abortive San Diego conspiracy, are cropping up again here in the SLA. U.S. and police intelligence agents, agent provocateur, people from within the California prison system, both those attempting to make it more oppressive and those attempting to reform it. And again, the same milieu that we looked at in detail with regard to the Glass House tapes is emerging again with the Symbionese Liberation Army, which appears to have almost beyond the point of intelligent debate to have been a government provocateur operation. Anything you'd like to add to that, Nip?
Well, I was just going to say we want to notice, of course, the fact that the name of Evel Younger cropping up a couple of times. We will talk about him later on. I imagine during the course of this article, Evel Younger, of course, was the Attorney General of California during the Reagan gubernatorial administration. Evel Younger also cropped up several times in the course of investigations into the assassination of Robert F. Kennedy in terms of an overt influence from the top down in trying to disrupt the progress of investigations that ran counter to the no conspiracy lone nut theory of the special unit senator investigations and the LAPD zone investigations. Again, similarly with the Robert F. Kennedy assassination, we note the presence of state police officials who are connected directly into the federal bureaucracy in the Robert F. Kennedy assassination, which if you'll refer back to some of our earlier broadcasts, for instance, the Guns of November, you'll know we talked about officers Peña and Fernandez, both of whom who were Los Angeles Police Department officers who quit to go work for the CIA in special assignment in Latin America and came back specially to Deep Six investigations into the Robert Kennedy assassination, including intimidating witnesses, destroying evidence, things of that nature. They had gotten hooked up into a federal program that took police officers and state police officers and then introduced them into foreign countries to train repressive police department tactics there and then bring them back to the home front as well. We see this repetitively throughout the SLA thing, that these people who have some kind of contact with either narcotics or behavioral training branches of law enforcement or things of that nature, all of them show up suddenly in Berkeley and decide all at the same time to just get into the prison movement and help a bunch of black prisoners find their racial identity and learn how to give the black power salute and take African names. Well, I submit to any of our listeners out there that that's just a pretty darn weird set of coincidences, and it stretches credibility beyond the bounds of its elasticity.
Really, and that credibility is going to be stretched still further as we examine not only the cast of characters, but the chronology of events in which those characters were involved. Beginning the next section of May Brussels' Why Was Patricia Hearst Kidnapped?, published by The Realist in the summer of 1974. This section called Chronology of Events.
"1945. Importation of British and Nazi intelligence into the United States after World War I. William Stevenson, S-T-E-P-H-E-N-O-S-E-N-S-O-N, former head of British intelligence, combined with U.S. and Nazi intelligence to form covert operations and psychological warfare units against the free world. The purpose is to control labor, energy, oil, and minerals. Capitalism is transformed into disguised imperialism conducted by subversion. The CIA was formed to infiltrate and overthrow legitimate governments. It is now taking over the United States. The SLA is domestic internal warfare. World headquarters for American Nazi operations were set up at the Trial Club, Montego Bay, Jamaica. The anti-humanist events taking place in America against youth, experimentation on the brain and robot armies of humans without choices, and our tiger cage chains with segregated prisons must be blamed upon courting Nazi doctors and technicians. 1965, excuse me, Cambridge, Massachusetts, Politica, Camelot. Defense Department plans were worked out to be used against third world countries. They were applied to Chile. They can be applied to the U.S. Think tanks eventually produce the mentalities and methods to manipulate mass populations through terror and chaos. 1962 to the present, Phoenix Program. Directed by now CIA boss William Colby, control of the Vietnamese population through terrorism, murder, imprisonment, torture, rigged elections, and falsified statistics. Fear of communism from North Vietnam caused our soldiers to commit illegal and immoral acts, believing the end justified the means. The same rationalizations are taking place in the U.S. May 1, 1968, FBI covert intelligence on the new left, COINTELPRO. Clandestine intelligence operation designed to cause antagonism between and among the anti-war and black movements, as well as fear in the minds of the people. The program was designed to threaten and undermine activities of any organization that fell into the category of the new left. Quote, all black student unions and similar organizations organized to project the demands of black students. Quote, full-scale surveillance and intelligence of anti-war movement, women's liberation, anything with the name black. Quote, denounce, leak fabrications to the press, warn of violence, link to communists, scare away the committed, reduce memberships. Unquote. June 1968, Los Angeles Police Department, Criminal Conspiracy Section. Formed after SUS, Special Unit Senator, the team that concealed Robert Kennedy's assassin and put the conspiracy under the rug. Secret funding from the CIA connected directly to White House intelligence and future Houston plan. Detective R. Farwell, commander in public disorder intelligence units, is assigned to monitor black political activity in California. Donald DeFries worked out of this office as a police informant from 67 to 69. Black agents infiltrated the prisons and the Black Panther Party. Ron Karenga, an agent who worked with provocateur Louis Tackwood and Donald DeFries, used the SLA seven-headed cobra as insignia for the U.S. organization. Evel Younger, former L.A. district attorney when CCS was formed, is now attorney general. Younger is an Air Force Major General in counterintelligence, as well as a member of the FBI. 1962-69, Colston Westbrook, Vietnam and service abroad. Westbrook served in Asia, working with the CIA's Phoenix program, trained in psychological warfare techniques. The years he was away, President John Kennedy, Senator Robert Kennedy, and Reverend Martin Luther King were assassinated. The FBI had targeted all left, radical, and black movements to be broken apart. When Westbrook returned to America, the military and intelligence agencies were to escalate the war at home. Important to that domestic war were closed prisons, with radical prisoners killed or locked up forever. July 23, 1970, the Houston Plan. Army, Navy, and Air Force working with intelligence agencies and local police departments. The, quote, Houston Plan was approved by President Nixon. Senator Sam Ervin stated in May 1974 that it is still operating. This document gave permission for widespread political surveillance by burglary, wiretapping, eavesdropping, mail covers, and spying inside the U.S. by the CIA. The methods were employed against all dissenters, political opponents, news reporters, and selected government employees. Congress continues to give full support to these operations by appointing known war criminals to head our agencies and to finance their operations without controls. 1970, California prisons. War against political prisoners began overtly January 14, 1970, at Soledad Prison. Black leaders, William Nolan, Cleveland Edwards, and Alvin Miller, were murdered by a guard. Continuous killings of prisoners and guards have escalated since that date. Segregation, racism, torture, provocations, threats, and fear are rampant in the prisons. This is state policy. Gang wars and narcotics are encouraged and distributed to pit groups against each other, hoping they never get out alive. Eldridge Cleaver, well-known Black Panther leader and writer, fled California and went to Algeria. The orders throughout the prison system were, quote, no more Cleavers. Westbrook came home from 7 years in Asia with the CIA to instruct twice weekly inside the politically explosive California prison system. Late 1969 to 1970, Black Culture Association, Vacaville Medical Facility. Meeting place of Colston Westbrook with Donald DeFries. BCA was an extension of psychological experimentation projects connected to Stanford Research Institute, Menlo Park, and the CIA in Langley, Virginia. The Symbionese Liberation Army was nurtured here. If the SLA were not meant to happen, DeFries and his teacher, as well as the constant associates, would have been identified when we learned DeFries left their prisons. 1970, Donald DeFries confesses to Judge Ritzy, wants to come clean. DeFries wrote to Superior Court Judge W. Ritzy, quote, I will tell what really happened and why. I will tell you things that no one has ever known before. Judge Ritzy turned down DeFries' appeal to tell of his crimes and his work for the LAPD. DeFries went immediately to Chino Prison and then to Vacaville Medical Center for 6 to 14 years. This is when his personality change began. He was to meet Colston Westbrook, director of the new BCA. 1970, Joseph Romero comes back to California after two tours in Vietnam. 1970 to 1972, Colston Westbrook, CIA, and Donald DeFries, LAPD, meet. Westbrook instructed 2 days a week at BCA, Vacaville. He also controlled all visitors to the group. Future SLA members began to meet with DeFries. Their, quote, Maoist revolutionary discussions included having their own flag, taking African names, and discussions against black leader Dr. Marcus Foster, superintendent of schools of Oakland. Many of the, quote, tutors were police informers. 1971, summer meetings of White House agent Donald Segretti, FBI, Minutemen, and Secret Army Organization in San Diego. Donald Segretti, funded by secret intelligence money, met with paramilitary right-wing organizations. They planned kidnappings of radicals during the Republican conventions in 1972. Members of the SAO had been shooting, burning, and attempting murder using federal, quote, anti-poverty money. The Minutemen have publicly anticipated a race war in the U.S. They are well-armed and infiltrated by police and law enforcement agents. 1971. Camilla Hall moves to Bay Area from St. Paul. 1971. William Wolfe arrives in Bay Area from Pennsylvania. 1971 to 72, John Mitchell, John Ehrlichman, G. Gordon Liddy, and the American Nazi Party. The history of the SLA has roots in the American Nazi Party. Secret White House money was sent down the line to Lynn Nofziger in California and to Joseph Tomasi, Nazi stormtrooper. Additional funds for the California Nazis were promised at known meetings in the Hilton Hotel, Los Angeles, and the Mayflower Hotel, Washington, D.C. Robert Mardian, Assistant Attorney General in charge of internal security, maintained lists of radicals who would be kidnapped in Florida when the Republican convention was moved there from San Diego.
Interrupting very briefly, Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court nominee, William Rehnquist, was an assistant to Robert Mardian at the time that Mardian was engaged in those activities.
Liddy's and Mardian's open interest in German Nazis indicates that more than election votes from Wallace's campaign was involved in these secret meetings and fundings. The Nazi Party is involved in the murder of Marcus Foster and the Bay Area violence, with the approval of the Justice Department and military intelligence. 1970 to 74, California's explosive years of prison violence, conspiracies, entrapments, genocide, segregation, and terrorism. Simultaneous with the murder of leaders on the outside and genocidal policies becoming law, the California Department of Corrections, working with Attorney General Evel Younger, began a reign of terror. 1972, migration to California, a group to change the prisons. Robin Steiner, Russell Little, Emily Harris, Angela Atwood, and Gary Atwood were to make frequent visits to Vacaville Medical Facility, Men's Colony, at San Luis Obispo, San Quentin, Folsom. The Department of Corrections has letters written by members of the SLA on behalf of Donald DeFries. They wanted his early parole from Soledad. They immediately infiltrated the Black Guerrilla Family, Vietnam Veterans Against the War, Chino Defense Fund, United Farm Workers, women's organizations, and Los Venceremos. November 1972, Thero Wheeler and DeFries meet for 1 month. Thero Wheeler, the silent mystery man, met DeFries in Vacaville. December 1972, DeFries moved from Vacaville to Soledad Prison. March 1973, The Great Escape, Donald DeFries. DeFries, assisted by Soledad prison superintendents working for the Attorney General's office, walked away. Change of clothing and transportation were waiting for him. One officer who assisted in DeFries' escape still works at Soledad. The other now works in Sacramento. August 1973, The Great Escape, Thero Wheeler. Thero Wheeler walked out of Vacaville. August to October 1973, nobody looks for Wheeler and DeFries. Two black escapees from California prisons, both, quote, associated with radical groups, Venceremos and Maoists, were not sought by the law. Wheeler and DeFries met at least 20 times during this three-month period. Both were living with women met through prison visits. They were easily traceable if anyone had been looking for them. Summer 1973, DeFries' double, Bernard Keaton. A second DeFries was trained and prepared to duplicate Sin Q's presence. In case the psychologically well-programmed DeFries was accidentally picked up in Oakland or Berkeley, Keaton could go to prison for him. Doubles are used in every major conspiracy. It is a standard CIA operating procedure. James Earl Ray and Lee Harvey Oswald each had a double. The FBI lose track of them on purpose.
Continuing with the chronology of events. August 21st, 1973, SLA Declaration of War. Enter American Domestic Intelligence Warfare. The SLA Declaration of War, dated August 21, 1973, was not openly distributed until November 7, 1973, the day after the murder of Dr. Marcus Foster. August 27, 1973, the Cobra appears. An Egyptian cobra, long, mean, ill-tempered, very deadly, unquote, was released in Chicago. This symbolic gesture was picked up immediately by the KKK American Nazi Party and the White Aryan Knights. A signal? Quote, "We hope the Cobra has nationalistic tendencies and bites a few kikes. The Cobras have niggers beat all to hell so far as danger is concerned. All power to the Cobra." Unquote. September 1973, February 1974. Race war begins in the Bay Area. Ex-prisoners, some armed by police, have been trained and allowed to conduct planned vengeance killings, unquote. White men wearing black faces commit murder, and black patsies are encouraged to escalate killings and terrorism. A series of murders in San Francisco area termed Operation Zebra by police occurred immediately prior to the Hearst kidnapping on February 4, 1974. They were later to be feebly linked, and only verbally, by Mayor Alioto to the SLA. October 2, 1973. Race war escalation. Two policemen died in a helicopter crash in Oakland. Somebody wanted blacks blamed for it. The unknown August 7th guerrilla movement, unquote, claimed credit for the deaths. Both the coroner and the National Transportation Safety Board stated the deaths were caused by engine failure, unquote. August 7th guerrilla movement literature was found at the SLA headquarters. Blackface makeup for white faces was also found. The message claiming credit, unquote, for the policemen's deaths also referred to the San Quentin Six, unquote. Prior to every major political trial in California, provocateurs create violence to associate the defendants with terror on the streets. The trial of the San Quentin Six was almost ready for jury selection. They have been continuous targets of California law enforcement authorities. The indictments were later dropped. October 8, 1973, the race war continues. Murphy Anderson, a black man, and Faith Trumpoor, a white woman, were found dead gangland style by the side of a highway in Monterey County. A week after their bodies were discovered, the usual pattern of planted evidence occurred. A message from the August 7th guerrilla movement, unquote, arrived, taking credit for these killings. The message once more mentioned the San Quentin Six. This is a convenient way of murdering two people and arousing racist fears at the same time. The cover story was narcotics-related death. Kidnapping involved here, was it practice for SLA? October of 1973, American Nazi Party warns that Dr. Marcus Foster will be assassinated. This was 2 weeks before the murder took place. At a shopping center in San Leandro, close to Oakland, members of the Nazi Party handed out pamphlets warning, quote, "There might be shotgun blasts into the guts of mixmaster principals and superintendents," unquote. October of 1973, Black Cultural Association, Vacaville Medical Facility, lectures against Dr. Foster. Director Westbrook and tutor Willie Wolf spread hate stories about Dr. Foster. Inmates were jubilant weeks later when they learned the educator was dead. But another black leader had been assassinated. Violence is nurtured in the prisons by selected agents. November 6, 1973, Dr. Marcus Foster assassinated Oakland. Dr. Foster was black. He was shot with deadly cyanide bullets. His co-worker, Robert Blackburn, is white. He was shot with regular bullets and survived. The men were close associates, often referred to as Salt and Pepper. Both men had moved to California from Pennsylvania a few years earlier. Blacks, unquote, were seen by witnesses leaving after the shooting. Nazis wanted him murdered. Nazis are active in education problems in California. White men possessing black makeup were later arrested for his murder. November 7, 1973, Symbionese Liberation Army Communique No. 1. The SLA claimed credit for killing Dr. Foster out of, quote, love for the people, unquote. Death warrants, unquote, were issued against other school board members. January 10, 1974, Joseph Ramiro and Russell Little, two white men, arrested and charged with the murder of Dr. Foster. Both men deliberately created the condition for their arrest by driving around in a van for several hours early in the morning in a quiet residential area a few blocks away from their safe house in Concord. Ramiro surrendered 4 hours after Little was captured. Ramiro deliberately wore the weapon that would identify him with the Foster murder. On the same evening, Nancy Ling Perry set fire to the SLA safe house at Sutherland Court. The liberated zone, unquote, contained a gold mine of evidence and information that the law enforcement officials could reveal or conceal to their advantage. Written plans to kidnap Patricia Hearst were found in the house 3 weeks prior to her abduction. Police ignored this information. I'm going to read the last sentence again. Written plans to kidnap Patricia Hearst were found in the house 3 weeks prior to her abduction. Police ignored this information. November 27, 1973, murder of a guard at Tracy Prison. August 7th, guerrilla movement again took credit. The murder of this guard would signal escalation of the war against prisoners by the California Department of Corrections. Prisoners were reclassified, packages were limited, visiting days were reduced, and further repressions were inaugurated. 85% of all eligible paroles were denied during January and February of 1974. Guards are bringing in weapons, encouraging narcotics traffic, and causing impossible living conditions. The emergence of the SLA, allegedly nurtured within the prison system, would set back any hopes for prison reform. January 17, 1974, communique number 2. The SLA explains their philosophy, unquote. Nancy Ling Perry, Fajiza, speaks. The SLA, quote, the SLA were freedom fighters. The USA has been overthrown since 1963. Their information and intelligence unit, unquote, was fighting oppression, again, unquote. The SLA, quote, the SLA was made up of blacks, browns, yellow, red, and white people. We would never wear makeup or disguise ourselves by race, unquote. When confronted with oppression, starvation, and the death of their freedom, they will fight, unquote. None of the SLA has ever been confronted by these conditions. Quote, the SLA is not the August 7th guerrilla movement, unquote. That group was never heard from again. Quote, the fire in Concord, California was only to melt fingerprints, unquote. It didn't. Death to the fascist insect that preys upon the life of the people, unquote. February 4th, 1974. Patricia Hearst is kidnapped. Two black males and one white female kidnapped Patty Hearst. Her boyfriend, Stephen Weed, was beaten. This was America's first political kidnapping. February 7th, 1974. Communique number 3 of the SLA. Patricia is a prisoner of war. February 12th, 1974. Field Marshal General Singh Q, Donald DeFries, makes his first taped public appearance. Singh Q explains that Randolph Hearst should set up a food program for the poor. Patty speaks to her parents and fiancé Stephen Weed in a taped message. Quote, Mom, Dad, I am okay. I had a few scrapes and stuff, but they washed them up and they're getting okay. I caught a cold, but they gave me some pills. I am in a combat unit that is armed with automatic weapons. There is also a medical team here, unquote. Her voice was drowsy, and she appeared anxious to get home. This was a period of sympathy for Patty, and conditions for her return were being met, she hoped. Singh Q asked for food of the best quality, unquote, to be delivered. One giveaway of the SLA was the suggestion that the food be distributed from Safeway or Mayfair stores, unquote. Radicals in California are aware of the boycott of Safeway stores because of Cesar Chavez's strikes relating to non-union lettuce, grapes, and wine. It seemed strange for volunteers for the United Farm Workers to ask that Safeway participate in the food giveaway plan. There were many indications in communique number 3 that the SLA was a right-wing conspiracy.
Continuing on with the chronology. February 12th to April 1st, 1974, the Great Food Ripoff. Randolph Hearst spent $2 million on the People in Need program. Quote, best quality food was to be delivered. That was a clear stipulation of the conditions for returning Patricia Hearst. Ludlow Kramer, Secretary of State for Washington State, Republican candidate for Congress and former employee of NASA, who helped distribute food during defense industry personnel layoffs, was imported to California to oversee the program. Quote, top quality companies, unquote, sold Kramer meat with, quote, 75% slop at triple the normal price. Cabbages replaced meat in some bags of food. Food was thrown at the people. Some threw it back. Food trucks were hijacked. Conveniently placed cameras photographed violence at food distribution centers. Some food was, quote, contaminated. Randolph Hearst was publicly embarrassed and forced to apologize. What food companies, allegedly the nation's best major meat packers, sell contaminated food? Do they usually stock meat with 75% fat content in Washington? Did they throw food at the unemployed in Washington? Were the recipients photographed? SLA members Ramiro and Little, now in San Quentin, called the food hog feed. Patty's captors could demonstrate to her that, quote, her father didn't care about her safe return, while Hearst was ripped off and made to look responsible for the violence and the slop. Patty's kidnappers could claim they cared more about her than her own father did. CIA agent William Buckley wrote with authority, from 3,000 miles away, that Cadillacs pulled up for food handouts. $4 million was waiting to feed the poor if Patty would come home safe before May 1st. April 2, 1974. SLA message, time and place of Patty's release to be revealed in 72 hours. There was a, quote, pray for Patty weekend. Her 20th birthday was spent in captivity. Romantic roses were delivered with a message promising Patty's return to the Phoenix, a Bay Area underground newspaper. Family hopes were high. April 3, 1974, Patty decides to join the SLA. Patricia Hearst was disappointed with the $2 million food distribution program. Her father had, quote, not done everything in his power, unquote, to get her back. The ripoff of Hearst could easily give Patty that impression if most of the news was kept from her, except the negative and purposeful manipulation of the food distribution program. Patty became Tanya, a name she said she chose, but 1 month later said, quote, was given to her. The original Tanya was an associate of revolutionary leader Che Guevara in Bolivia. Tanya and Che were both killed by the CIA working with Bolivian police. Patty's dad became, quote, a corporate liar. Nobody worried about Patricia anymore. The SLA didn't keep their word. Hearst acted shocked. He should have known better. Bad guy Randolph Hearst, supporter of fascism, militant dictatorships, napalm, Nazis, and news censorship, became a sympathetic figure in the manipulated media. From that point on, it didn't matter whether Patricia was found alive or dead. We had been taken through a series of episodes along with the Hearst family, anxiously awaiting Patty's safe return. After April 3rd, things went from bad to worse. The SLA issued, quote, death warrants for Colston Westbrook, Chris Thompson, and Robin Steiner, who were termed FBI and CIA informers. Patty said on tape, quote, I am not brainwashed, drugged, tortured, or hypnotized in any way. April 15, 1974, Patty stages a bank robbery, makes the, quote, 10 most wanted list. Four alleged members of the SLA posed for 1,200 pictures at the bank. They didn't shoot at the cameras. Quote, my comrades and I have expropriated $10,660.20 from the Sunset branch of the Hibernia Bank. Casualties could have been avoided had the persons involved kept out of the way and cooperated with the people's forces until after our departure, said Patty on a new tape cassette. Arrest warrants were issued. FBI posters went up across the country. Patty, gun in hand, made the cover of Time and Newsweek. Her good father was a, quote, liar. Bad daughter was a bank robber. Get the picture? Patty was toughing it out. What a revolution. May 2, 1974, Patty living in filth, Tanya and graffiti on the walls. An empty apartment was found. What next? Cockroaches were coming down the walls. Chemicals in the tub. Tanya was obviously here. It said so on the walls. No fingerprints to prove Patty Hearst lived there. A downstairs neighbor heard, quote, money clicking on the floors. May 1, 1974, Ricky Delgado, an alias, purchases a van to transport the SLA to Los Angeles. One of three vans was bought for $1,800 cash. A non-existent address, a parking lot on Fillmore Street, and false name were given for identification. A black man with a woman and child left their green car behind and drove away in the van. They were never sought or seen again. Did anyone track down the green car? May 1, 1974, SLA moves to Los Angeles. Christine Johnson, a resident of the house on 54th Street that had burned down two weeks later, had come to the Bay Area and met with the SLA before their migration south. Their plans had been made in advance. Question, how could she find them so easily when the FBI and San Francisco police were looking for them with added forces? May 16, 1974, shootout at Mel's sporting goods store, Inglewood. William Harris allegedly stuffed a pair of socks up his sleeve. Employee Tony Shepard, a police science major, just happened to have his handcuffs with him and handcuffed William Harris on one wrist. An altercation occurred outside the building in full view of Patty. The Los Angeles scene was staged to prove Patty was capable of firing an automatic weapon. Nobody saw Patty fire the weapon. William Harris dropped a gun registered in Emily Harris's name, announcing that the SLA was in town. The red and white van was unnecessarily abandoned, conveniently leaving the SLA's address on 834 West 84th Street.